morning, and I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. That's in the Old Testament. Page 13, say page 328, if you got the right Bible. If you don't have, that's your problem. I want to talk about here the anointing of Saul. I want you to notice the purpose of this anointing, and then I want you to notice, secondly, how he lost that anointing. I say all this because I believe that God anoints us for special times. And what do I mean by anointing? The anointing here is power to perform special tasks that God has in mind for you. I know in my own life I've asked God to anoint me with his Spirit. I think of the Lord Jesus. He was anointed. When I go to the, even though you're in chapter 10, turn with me for a moment to chapter 4 of Luke, because this I think is important. I want you to understand there's a difference between filling and anointing. Our Lord was filled with the Spirit from the day he was born, even in the womb of Mary. But I come over here to chapter 4, and I look there in verse 18. Now the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance of the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, he had an anointing from God. There are times in my life I have sought such an anointing. I remember 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 times more than that, where God had wanted me to do a special task. And there are times in your life God will have you do the same. When I come over now to 1 Samuel chapter 10, we look here at the purpose of the anointing, and we're going to see that as we look here at this man. Look there in verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil. Now underline the word oil. By the way, we have an oil crisis in our country today in our pulpits. I'm talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The oil here is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. It was simply a symbolic of what God would do to that man, and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" It is interesting that when after the anointing, there are three different places that he went to. Notice verse 2, because each of these give the idea of the need, what is involved in that anointing. Look there in verse 2. When thou art departed from me today, thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher. Underline that. That's the first place. When you get anointed by the Spirit of God, there needs to be it's a place of death. Rachel's tomb was a place of death. When you get anointed with the Spirit of God, you die to self. There is a need more than ever to have a death to self. From there, I go to verse 3. That's the second place. He's kind of a Holy Land trip here. He says, verse 3, thou shalt go on forward from thence, from Rachel's sepulcher. And Rachel, by the way, was the mother of Benjamin, who Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. Look there in verse 3. From there he went to Bethel. Thou shalt go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and thou shalt meet the three men going up to God to Bethel. That's the second place. Rachel's tomb was a picture of the death to the old life, dying to self. The death here, now not only did Bethel, that's a place of dedication. You'll find Bethel, it means house of God. This is a dedicated place here because God resides here through us, and we are his temple, so we are the place of dedication. Then if you go down there to verse 5, the third place, and after that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. Now that's where the battle took place. So you have Rachel's a sepulcher, that's the place of death, and you have to die to your own things. When you get anointed with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God rests on you, you die to self. Bethel, place of dedicating your life. And then the hill of God, it's the place of dependence on God. It says where the Philistines were. What were the Philistines? They outnumbered Israel, more powerful than Israel, had much more. They were totally dependent upon God in order to accomplish anything. So those three places, I believe, are significant that God placed here in his Bible. But think with me now, the purpose. What is the purpose when God anoints us? I hope you've had the anointing of the Spirit of God in your life in different times in your life. It's good to be filled with the Spirit. Our Lord was, we need to be, but God gives us extra power to perform. Now, first of all, there are five indications, five full description of what it means in this text to be anointed. What happens? Look, if you will, verse 6, because here we begin here. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, they referring to Saul, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and notice thou shalt be turned into another man. That's the first one, being transformed into his likeness. That's what the anointing does. It transforms. Look, he said you'll be another man. God's going to do some transforming. When I go over there to the New Testament over there and if you care to turn with me to 2 Corinthians in the third chapter, if you care to go over there, 2 Corinthians in the third chapter, you'll see what I mean there. Look there with me in 2 Corinthians 13, chapter 3, pardon me, and look there in verse 18 and 19. But verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with open face, beholding a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into his image. A transformation takes place. God does some unusual things when you are turned into his image. I remember years ago, I mentioned this before, but I remember it so well, when we were going through a tremendous battle in our church in Charleston. We were sued and we had a cost us about $100,000. It looked like we were didn't know what was going to happen. And I was driving down the freeway, and the Spirit of God, I was bitter. You ever been there? I said, Lord, this is not fair. And God said, it's not fair, but it's right for you to have this. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. And there in that car on Highway 26, I had an anointing of God that revived me and took me through that experience. And I'll never forget it. Tears running down my cheeks. And the Spirit of God said to me, rejoice, be thankful. First I said, I don't feel like it. You know what he said to me? Do it anyway. Amen. And that was an anointing that I so desperately needed because it was a task. Listen, when you go to college, they don't teach you how to handle lawsuits. They don't teach you how to have building programs. They don't teach you these things. So the very first one is to be transformed into his... Now the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make us more like God so we can act more like God. When we become more like God, that we can act more like God. Secondly, look there. Move down to verse 7. There's the second one. First one is to be transformed into his likeness. God will do something so unusual when you have the anointing. Secondly, to be thrust into his service. Look at verse 7. And let it be with these signs are come upon thee, thou do that do as an occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Notice this. Would you underline that thought there in verse 7? Do as occasion serve thee. What an interesting statement. Do as occasion serve thee. In other words, you're waiting on God. I thought of this team from these two churches here today and other churches, maybe more than I realize. You know, God has given you fellas unusual gifts, ladies, unusual gifts. I could not do what you're doing. God knows that. Thank God for you. And I prayed this week for a special anointing on you to accomplish that goal. I've more occasion people ask me, well, when is your next interim going to be? Well, my answer is found in verse 7. Do as occasion serve thee. When God brings the occasion, that's when you do it. And when you're anointed with the Spirit of God, God will give you those occasions to be used of Him. And God will do it. By the way, it's a miracle that these men are here, these ladies, with us. God worked all that out. You know why? Because I believe our pastor had an anointing on him. And our church had a special anointing from God to accomplish what has been accomplished. Now, God hadn't used me much in that building. I can go over there and drink coffee and stand around, and they want me to leave. But thank God for that team. Show us how to do it. So we see, what is the purpose? The purpose is to be transformed into His image, to be thrust into His service. That is the purpose of the anointing. God will not anoint anyone that wants to be idle. It's for spatial service. As the occasion, serve thee. I like that. As the occasion, serve thee. And God will use you. You ought to pray, God, oh, as the occasion. When you open that door that I can serve you, I want to be ready to serve you. That's the idea of the word. Look at verse 8. The third one. To trust God for all things. Look at verse 8. It's interesting here. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days thou shalt tarry till I come to thee and show thee, get those words, and show thee what thou shalt do. Now we know if you go to chapter 13, what happened to Saul, he didn't trust God. He interfered in an area that he had no right to do and offer a sacrifice. But he said it's a 7 day, but if you read the rest, it said, yes, the 7 day come, but he was to wait until Samuel came, what? To show him. Well, listen to me. When you're anointed with the Spirit of God, you learn patience. Because God will use you. God will do His work in His timing. We simply are there to trust Him. Trust Him for what He's doing. To be transformed to His image, to be thrust into His service, to trust Him for all things. Go over there to chapter 13 for just a moment. Look over there, chapter 13. And here is some time later, he's 7 days later. Look at it there. And he tarried 7 days. There's a 7 day. Now that's what Saul is saying. Listen, I waited. According to the set time that Samuel had appointed, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So he committed this terrible sin. We'll get in a moment. But you underline that word, set time. The set time was not just 7 days, the set time when God was going to do what He's going to do. I thought of that word time, T-I-M-E. Think with me for it. What is time? Number one, it's a trust from God. Some of us don't have as much time as the younger ones here. Our time is running out, right? Running out, some of us older fellows. It is not only T for time or trust from God, but it's irreversible. I go over my life and ministry sometimes in my thought, and Lord, let me tell you, I'm going to probably leave this week, go to Charleston to do a funeral. A couple, at least the wife, and I'll come back later for the man. They're both 70 years of age, and they're both dying. She'll die this week, no question about that. God has said her body's deteriorating. And I went back in my mind. I thought, 70 years of marriage. How long is that? That long. Not very long compared to eternity. Longer than me. My wife been married 56 years. We'll make it 57 if she'll keep me a little longer. It's irreversible. Time is the master over everything we want to accomplish in life. And he, it ends in death. There'll be no time in heaven. Oh, hallelujah for that. Get rid of your wristwatch when you go to heaven. When I get raptured or takes place, that thing goes or I die, it's gone. Time's gone. To trust in God. For, go back to our passage there. What is to be anointed with the Spirit? What's it mean? It means to be transformed into His image. It means to be thrust into His service in an unusual way. It means to trust God for all things. It's His timing. And to think God's thoughts. Verse 10. I want you to see this, if you will, please. And when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Look at that. Verse 9 is where I meant to have you go. Verse 9. It was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him, what's it say? Another heart. Now let me say this to us. The human heart does not like what God likes until it becomes God-like. Did you get that? The human heart does not like what God likes until it becomes God-like. And so we think here, he gave him another heart. Wow, God's heart. Oh, how important that is. I to think God's thoughts. You know, my human heart does not think God's thoughts. He gives me another heart to think God's heart. His heart to think God's thoughts. When I let my heart get in charge, my human heart, I think wrong thoughts. How many are with me on that one? You do the same thing. But when you're anointed with the Spirit of God, one of the characteristics of having another heart with God is you talk back to yourself. You talk back to yourself. Psalm 42, you preached on it Wednesday night, preacher. Doc, you did that. Not our pastor, but Doc there. I thought about, he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" That's a shepherd's word. It's when a sheep gets off of its feet, it's called a cast sheep. It gets off of its feet, and Saul is about ready, we're going to find, to get off of his feet. And the anointing will leave him. Now let me say this. David was anointed too. Were there times when David lost his anointing? I'm convinced. But would you look over there in Psalm 92? Psalm 92 for just a moment, written by David in Psalm 92, and look with me there in verse 10. There are some words here I want you to underline. He said, "But my horn shall exalt the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with what?" You go back and get anointing of God's fresh oil so that God can do something unusual to you. Then look at verse 10. We see then the purpose of it is to be transformed into his likeness, to be thrust into his service, to trust God for all things when it looks like all things don't work right. It means to think God's thought. You can't think God's heart with your own heart. You've got to have another heart. And it means to be thrilled over God's presence. Look at verse 10. And when they came hither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied. Now, the word prophesied here has nothing to do with proclaiming the future, but predicting the future. Had nothing to do with that. It had to do with being proclaiming God's praise. The word itself, the idea of praising God, and be thrilled with the presence of God. You know what concerns me is many of God's people have lost their thrill of God. They've lost their joy. We're too busy complaining about it. You know, sometimes I've had to ask God to anoint me because the negatives have weighed me down of life. This isn't going right and that's not going right. The problem is I'm not right. And I need fresh oil from God. Now, he lost all that. Let me just give you some of the ways in which he lost that. Let me just give you a few here. First thing here, if you'll turn with me back to that chapter, forward to that chapter 13, he lost that oil. He lost that. And notice the way it just happened in his life. First one had to do with waiting on God. waiting on God. When I come back there to chapter 13 again, we talked about that time in verse 8. But look at verse 10, or verse 9. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, a peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. He interfered into an area that was illegal. He was not a priest. That was for the priest to do. He was a king, not a priest. And certainly it was a great sin that he carried. And I want you to notice, you thought you were going back to the Garden of Eden this chapter. I want you to notice not only his great sin, but the grief in his sin. Notice what happens. Look there, if you will, please, and read down there. It came to pass, as soon as he had made it in verse 10 of offering, behold, Samuel came, and Samuel went out to meet him, or Saul went out to meet him, he may salute him. And Samuel said unto, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw the people. That's the first people. You're going to just bring the people. Now, listen, I only did it because the people. And scattered from me. And thou comest not. So he brings the prophet. Blames the people. Blames the prophet. You read a little further in verse 12. Therefore I said, I, the Philistines. He blames them. Blames everybody but the one who he should have blamed. Have you been there? If you have, and if you're there, you need a fresh anointing of God. You need to get along with God. Say, God, this is sin. This is a great sin. Think with me in verse 13. Notice, after he says all this, verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of God. You know, it doesn't bother me when an atheist says there is no God. That doesn't bother me. But when a Christian says there is God and acts like there isn't, he needs an anointing. The fool has said in his heart there is no. I'm talking about Christians taking over their life. They need a fresh anointing. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I said, oh God, don't let me be foolish. The second one had to do not only with waiting on God, but the second one had to do there with the Word of God. Go over there to chapter 15. Here's another incident. The oil just keeps losing the oil, keeps losing the power, keeps losing the presence of God. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over the people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken unto the voice of the word of the Lord. Then said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did. Now let me just stop right here. I want you to write by that verse 2, Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 through 19. You know what Amalek is? He's a picture of the flesh. He said over there in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 6, forget not to remember. Forget not to remember what Amalek did. How he tried to destroy Israel. Our flesh will try to destroy Israel. Or to destroy us. And over a whole bunch of times, he constantly repeats the name Amalek in the passage. He said, kill them all. But we know if you go down here in verse 8, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Somebody said he gagged on Agag. He didn't do what God's word said. Can you not see him losing his power, his anointing from God? Can you not see him taking that off? He gagged on him. And then, so he disobeyed the word of God. Just disobeyed it. God told him to wipe them all out. Didn't do a picture of the flesh. Fourthly, not only do we see him refusing to wait on God, disobeying the word of God. But the third one had to do with the worship of God. Look over there in verse 24. Now, it's interesting to note he is so proud of himself. He's so proud of himself. As a matter of fact, look there in verse 12 of chapter 15. And he just thought, you know, it's a tragedy when you think you're in the will of God, pardon my grammar, and you ain't. That's a tragedy. It reminds me of the time when I got a call from my granddaughter, said, Grandpa, God's been good to me. I thought, what's going to come next? Knowing teenagers. She said, I really did some, got in trouble with Mom, Dad. They sent me to the room, and while I am there, I found $200 I forgot I found that I had. And she's giving God credit instead of saying, and I said, Hannah, how about what you did that was wrong? Oh, Grandpa, God, I had to give her a theological lesson there. She thought she was okay. How many have ever been there with your kids? Lord, help us. Look there in verse 12. And when Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place. Would you get those words? He built a monument to himself for what he did. You couldn't pat him on the back. His hand was in the way. Yeah. I'm so proud of what he did. And then he tells, look, verse 13, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou, Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Liar. And Samuel says, bah, what's those bleep? I hear the sheep. I hear the, you've not done what I've told you to do. And so he's chastised. You go down here to verse 22. Samuel said, Has thou great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of ram. Look at verse 23. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. More than one person I've counseled with, I said, why are you so mixed up in witchcraft? And they look at me like, I'm not involved in witchcraft. If you're rebelling against God, you are involved in witchcraft. That's what he calls it here. And that is sure to lose the special anointing of God. Think with me, the worship. Look at verse 24. Saul said unto Samuel after, I have sinned. Saul said, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words, semicolon. Should have been a period right there. What's he do? Because I fear the people. That's not repentance. That's remorse. There was no repentance on his part. And then I find out, as I look at this, we find instead of repentance, we have remorse. Instead of preparation to worship God, we find pride. Will you notice all this? Look down here. Look, and now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin. Turn again with me that I may what? Worship God. Don't ever try to worship God with sin in your life. Don't do that. Get right with God first and get an anointing from God. And we see here, he tried to worship God. You have remorse instead of repentance. You have pride instead of preparation to meet with God. You can't worship God if your heart is not right with God. Amen? You just can't worship God. And then the fourth one, as we quickly go through this. And this is the key one as I close here this morning. First one had to do with waiting on God, God's timing. Second had to do with the Word of God. He disobeyed it. Third had to do with worship of God. He thought he could worship God and not when not being right with God. But look over there in chapter 16. Now, to me, this is the point of no return. Would you note that? In verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now, And then it says, an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, commentaries don't all agree as to what that evil spirit was. I believe it was nothing minimal. It was depression. When the Spirit of God is not in charge of your life and not in my life, I guarantee you we're going to be depressed. Matter of fact, psychiatrists would love to have met with Saul and try to figure him out psychologically. He was a mess. But I want to tell you something. When I look at him there, I realize that he just refused to serve God. Matthew Henry said, it's either God and grace or Satan and self. Got a choice. And when the Spirit of God is on you, it's grace, it's God and grace. And when it's removed, it's self and Satan. Satan took over his life. Took over his life. Think with me as we see that here. He lost the presence of God. Notice it, and the Spirit departed. Now listen, don't misunderstand that. You have the Holy Spirit until the day you die. Amen?
That's right.
But you may not sense his presence. I've been there. I've gotten alone with God and I said, oh God, I don't sense your presence. Oh God, get a hold of me. I got to have a fresh anointing, a fresh presence of God. He lost the peace of God. Look there. The end of verse 15. And from God troubled thee. The word troubled literally has the idea of depression, anguish, so forth. I want to tell you this. He not only lost the peace of God, he not only lost the presence of God, but he lost the privilege of getting right with God. Now let me close with it. There's much more I could say here, but I'm going to close here. But I want you to go to 2 Timothy. And I want you to go to the second chapter for just a moment. We call that line the Mason-Dixon line. When you cross it, when you go the wrong way, God will give you opportunities, but there will be a time God says, I've had it. Look over there in 2 Timothy 2. He says in verse 25 and 26, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance, the acknowledgement of the truth. There are times when God said, I've given you opportunities to repent, and you turned them down, and you turned them down, and you turned them down. Enough is enough. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him and his will. And he was taken captive by the devil himself. Have you thought of the last thing that he ever did before he was killed? He met with the witch of Endor. Couldn't go to God. God wasn't in control anymore. And I share with you today, as we close, you need anointing now and then. I didn't say a filling. I think that filling is, I have sin in my life, I'm not filled with God. But I want to tell you that anointing is that special blessing from God. Serve him, be used of God, but it will wear off. It's like a sheep. When a sheep would get infected, they'd put oil on his head. But after a while, that oil would rub off. Needed a fresh anointing. Thank you, Lord, for this little story about, I hope we can see what God has done, what our need in our life. And all God's people said,